Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, Living by Faith. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Go with me, please, to the book of 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy 4, and release faith with me, please. There's some things I need to say and say exactly the right way. And I'm believing for utterance that's beyond me, beyond what I know, what I can say and do. Let's release faith. Father, in Jesus' name, we all of us agree. We agree together, asking you for utterance, for the anointing, for exactly what you would say, the way you would say it, and what we need to see right now. We ask for it. We believe we receive it, and for ears that can hear it and hearts that can receive it. And we purpose not to be forgetful hearers, but to be doers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
1 Timothy 4, verse 1. The Spirit speaks expressly, that means very specifically and clearly and plainly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What would they get away from?
Faith.
And in doing so, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, there's more than one source of inspiration for teachings. And he's not talking about just teachings that you would hear if you foolishly went to a Satanist church. These are teachings you could hear in what is should be a Christian church. But the inspiration came from what? Seducing spirits and demons. The word devils is the word for demons. And what would these doctrines do? They would cause people to do what? Leave faith in their believing. Keep reading. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. He goes on talking about things. He gives some examples of doctrines of demons. Forbidding to marry is a doctrine of demons. Commanding to abstain from certain kind of foods is a doctrine of demons, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creation of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. He's contrasting him with these other folks who were not good ministers. Right? And what's the result of good ministry? And you'll be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. You're going to see this clearer and clearer. We're going to go to two other passages in the New Testament that say the same thing that we just got through reading here, that the enemy will endeavor to infiltrate Christian ministry with doctrines that are inspired not by God, but by the enemy. And that the result and effect is that people go away from faith and replace it with something else. Tell me what it's impossible to please God without.
Faith.
Impossible to get saved without.
Faith.
What's the only thing you can overcome this world with?
Faith.
Faith. Well, then it shouldn't be surprising. The enemy knows this. And so if that's the key to you overcoming him at every turn and to you receiving every good thing God has for you, and finding and finishing your course and your race, if that's the key, what's the enemy going to go for?
Faith.
Your faith. to get you off of faith and away from faith. That's his objective. That's his plan. And he's very, very tricky about doing it. Go with me, please, to the book of Jude. Now, just one chapter in Jude. And this whole chapter, this whole little book, is about just what we've been talking about from 1 Timothy. It's about this same topic and subject. And as you realize, what comes after Jude? Revelation, and that's it. And so Revelation deals with the last of the last days. And Timothy was talking about in the latter times. And Jude is talking about in the latter time. Has anybody lived in any later times than us?
No.
So if a generation the verses about latter times ever applied to, it's us. Now, look in Jude, and I'm going to read to you from the Weist translation. We're going to go over it two or three times. If you're interested in this, let me encourage you that after the service, tomorrow, tonight, whenever, next week, read this book, Jude, carefully, with the understanding that we're going to have after we read this tonight. Read it carefully, and you'll see why, begin to see more and more why it's in the book and why it's so important. In Jude, I'll begin about verse 3 or so. Well, let me read the King James, and then we'll read the Weist. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for what?
Faith.
For the what?
Faith.
Faith, which was once delivered to the saints." Keep reading, verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." What did he say was happening and going to happen? He said, you need to fight for faith. And he said, these people are coming in and perverting grace.
Yes.
Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
Should we be aware of this and be thinking about this then?
Yes.
What should we be contending for?
Faith.
What should we be on the watch for? Distortions or perversions of grace. Now, let me read this to you from the Weist translation. "Divinely loved ones," this is Weist translation, "when giving every diligence to be writing to you concerning the salvation possessed and common by all of us, I had constraint laid upon me to write to you." He's saying the Spirit of God moved him that he had to talk about this right now. "Beseeching you to contend with intensity and determination for the faith once for all entrusted to the safekeeping of the saints. For certain men entered surreptitiously who were of old predicted with reference to this judgment, men destitute of reverential awe towards God, perverting the grace of our God into moral anarchy and lack of self-restraint, and denying the only absolute master, even our Lord Jesus Christ." Go back to verse 5 in the King James. He said, "I will put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." You know what he's answering in this verse and the next couple of verses? The questions about once saved, always saved. So-called eternal security, which is also a perversion of grace. Y'all with me, friends?
Yes.
Keep reading. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of that great day. Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now, he gives three examples of individuals that were in a safe place and later were destroyed. And why is he talking about this? Because of distortions of grace. Keep reading, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, and what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, gainsaying is back-talking. In these last few verses, he keeps talking about lack of respect, lack of reverence, and rebellion. These go hand in hand with the error that he's talking about. Verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds that are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Keep going, I just want to keep reading. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." Now listen, boy, the Lord gave me some things today. I'm giving Him all the credit and glory. I did not figure these things out. There are very distinct identifiers of wrong doctrine here. And one of them is this: wrong doctrine causes the hearers to become more ungodly / worldly.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series Living by Faith, you may call More Life Ministries at 941-702-7390. That's 941-702-7390. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.